Hey, good evening, everybody.
Log
Welcome
Talk
to
Radio.
Something Wrong With You.
That's your world. I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, good evening, everybody, and welcome to Film and World Review. It's a Jubal, your host here at Film and World Review, welcoming you in. It's May 6th. It seems like this lockdown's gone on forever, but I got to say, I'm here in Florida. They opened the beaches. We went to the beach today. It was empty for the most part and fantastic for the most part. So I don't know. You know, as they've said, you know, each area has got to be handled separately. And they've got, you know, states that are listed 35th, 40th, you know, 46th on the list of confirmed cases. And they're closed down, stem to stern. It's just ridiculous what's going on. But it's really getting very disconcerting as we see, you know, the government enjoying its power, the government enjoying this newfound power. Even though it's unconstitutional, it's illegal. I think if any of these cases get to court, they'll be deemed as unconstitutional, be overturned quickly. And they'll have to. I mean, you know, it depends. Maybe if it's an Obama or a Clinton judge, maybe they do something different. But, it's just insane what's going on. And Whitmer really has incited, you know, a lot of people in America. You know, a lot of people. You know, we saw the America sheriff there in Minnesota, you know, speaking at that rally. Men were there with their long guns. Some people didn't like that. You know, one of my heroes, Sean Hannity, just like everyone else, listening to Rush, listening to Levin, listening to Hannity for years. And, you know, he was there talking about the guns. And I understand on the political side, you know, you want to be cool, you know, so they can't turn it into a, well, you know, instead of just being able to say you're a xenophobic, racist, white supremacist, they could say that you're the same thing with a weapon, and which makes you, I guess, Nazis or something. You know, and, you know, the other day, you know, Jake Tapper with his lead-in, you know, they work together. It seems like they work together because they have these lead-in lines, and then the, left-wing progressive pundit is sitting there, you know, finishes it or just stacks on top of it. They don't even have to acknowledge it. But Tapper, he asks Whitmer if the Michigan protesters were in, quote, the same vein as the Charlottesville neo-Nazis, you know, which, you know, triggers all these thoughts, misinformation, propaganda they had used in the past, you know, the same crap that they've been using for a long time somehow. You know, the party of the KKK, the party of segregation, the party of wearing gray in the Civil War, fighting for slavery. And when I always look back to what, you know, 68, Nixon trounced them. You had Hubert Humphrey. You had George Wallace, who was a Democrat when he was an independent, split the party vote. Nixon won a huge landslide. They knew they had to flip the script. They've been flipping the script for a long time. They've been working on this for a long time. If Nixon doesn't erase that piece of tape, there may have not been another Democrat president for decades and decades. You know, but Nixon opened the door for segregationist Lyndon Baines Johnson. You know, opened the door for, you know, Kennedy was not a traditional Democrat, wasn't a Republican. Some Democrats call him a Republican. Some Democrats call him a Catholic. But, you know, Kennedy was no friend. You see what the deep state did with him. I mean, he threatened to expose the deep state back then, and then weeks later he's toast. So Nixon's erasure started a whole chain of events. Lyndon Johnson signing in the Civil Rights Act, signing in the Voters' Rights Act, a joke. It's a hypocritical joke. But it continues on, with this progressive revolution, this National Socialist Democrat Revolution. And it just pushes on. And of course she says, so we're Nazis. The people in Michigan are Nazis. Is Sean Hannity right that they came with the guns? They have, it's a Second Amendment right. A lot of states you can carry. You can carry. In Florida, you have to conceal and carry. You can't just be running around with your AR-15 thrown over your shoulder and walking down the street. But in certain states, you have that right, Second Amendment right. And the difference between the people you saw in Michigan and in Boston and all around the country is that they were there for a protest, a peaceful protest. Again, Second Amendment, protection against from the government, right? Isn't that what the Second Amendment is about, being able to defend yourself against a tyrannical government? So then, Whitmer piles on about how, it's the worst racism and awful parts of our history. Yeah, the Democrats' history, Reconstruction. The beating, the burning, the hanging of African Americans in the South. They were even killing, they were Jewish people. So I have a lot of sensitivity and a lot of feeling about the Civil Rights Movement, because a lot of Jews were murdered in the South by Democrats trying to register people to vote against the racism, against Democrats. But they flipped the script, and here we are. We had Jimmy Carter. He farted his way out. Admiral Carter was going to Skippy, as some of us call him, Mr. Peanut. And, he came in, and he was gone. Reagan came in and thrashed him. Reagan may have been able to thrash him, instead of Gerald Ford in, 76 before that. At that time, I was working for George H.W. Bush. I was co-media coordinator of Massachusetts, the only state to beat Reagan, and I'm not even proud of that anymore, I can tell you that. But it's true. But I want to talk about tyranny for a second. I just want to kind of go off on tyranny, because we're seeing it. We're seeing it in action in America. We're seeing some governors, some mayors. How about that piece of work Lightfoot in Chicago? We're seeing some mayors going over the top, committing unconstitutional acts. No statute, no debate, that's for sure. And it's funny, the worst coronavirus amounts are in all these Democrat states. When you go down the list of confirmed cases, Florida and Texas are there, but if you look at the percentage of deaths, the difference is it's bigger than double figures. The difference. In this state, Florida, DeSantis, the first thing he did was he protected the long-term care homes, the retirement homes, those hospitals and hospice homes. He protected them first. What a genius. What did Cuomo do? Cuomo didn't do anything. Oh, yes, he did. He sent people that were confirmed COVID infections back into these homes, and tens of thousands of people died. They're saying 8,000, but give me a break. We haven't been getting a straight shot. They wanted to, it wasn't just China hasn't been giving us a straight shot. The media, it's not just China and WHO and NIH, because we all know they're all corrupt. We knew going in, but this just highlighted it again. Trump, once again, is part of highlighting this progressive National Socialist Democrat revolution or something. Even the Justice Democrats are fighting these people. They're so corrupt. The people we like to joke about, AOC, somebody I really despise a lot, Tlaib, another repugnant human being, Ilhan Omar, Presley, you know, that justice group, they don't like these people either. So, and the corruption, they see it. But we're living through these like practice runs of tyranny. It's almost like they're trying to test it out. How far can we go? How far can we take this? So they're arresting people. They're chasing people around. They're sending drones and helicopters to monitor people. I mean, give me a break. And then it comes out that the drones that all these municipalities in America are using are Chinese-made with trackers on them. So the Chinese can monitor. They know the model numbers. They know how to sign in and out of these computers that are in these drones. You know, this is we're almost at 5G, for God's sakes. And it's ridiculous. The amount of money the United States, the Democrats, the progressives, and there's a lot of rhino progressives and a lot of rhinos that got to go. We got to vote all of them out, and we have to vote somebody in. 2018, all the people that sat on the sidelines and never Trumpers, the these or that, you can't do it anymore. You can't do it anymore. You're going to have to hold your nose like I had to do with Romney and McCain and vote for them. Because these straight-up progressives, look what they're doing now. Pelosi, Schumer, you guys all know the names. The list is endless. The Justice Democrats, they're even more crazy. Green New Deal. Give me a break. In fact, today is the anniversary of the New Deal. I don't know if you knew that, but the Great New Deal. The New Deal programs, FDR, another segregationist, FDR. And, you know, the New Deal was a series of programs, public work projects, financial reforms, regulations enacted by FDR between 33 and 39. In fact, there was a second New Deal because the first New Deal didn't work as good as they thought it was going to. Because the Social Security Administration was established. And of course, we all fight for that because that's one way to help the seniors. But maybe if there have been other programs put into place, you know, they took the taxes for 7 years before they started paying it out to the seniors. So they had built up that whole pile of money. Well, what the hell happened to it all, you know? You know, talk about corruption, and now we're watching tyranny. It's not only the corruption that's going on, but it's the tyranny that's going on. Now, when you have tyranny, when you have that kind of, like, national socialism, fascism, communism, what's the remedy? What's the remedy for, look around the world at the communist, the socialist countries, the Islamist countries, because the Ba'ath socialists, you know, in Iraq and at the time Egypt, before Anwar Sadat's peace with Israel, They were part of the Ba'ath Socialist Party. It was modeled on the National Socialist Party. All these things are interconnected, is the problem. You know, it's not a conspiracy theory. It's a movement. It's been around a long time. The remedy for tyranny is the Constitution. America's made mistakes in judgment. We've had bad actors. But the idea of the Constitution with its amendments and the Bill of Rights is revolutionary. Revolutionary in how to try to manage society and economy at the same time. Equal justice, equal opportunity. There was problems there. The Democrats didn't fight so hard to keep slavery. It probably would have ended way earlier. Because the Republican Party was founded as the party to end slavery, which it did. A terrible, bloody war it had to fight with people fighting for slavery. The Democrats. So now we're watching these Democrat governors for the most part, because there's a couple of, you know, wacky Republicans right on the line there that are like, you know, they're kind of enjoying it, you know. They're acting more like a progressive rhino than they are as a Republican or whatever. But, you know, they call us conservatives, right? Conservatives, nationalists, Americans. And if you have a whole bunch of other choice words that they like to call us. And the fact of the matter is, conservative, you know, oh, they're old, they're out of it, they don't know what the hell is going on. No, we're the ones that are standing up for what's right. The Constitution is what's right. We're standing up for the Revolution Against Colonialism Constitution and the Bill of Rights. Now, the left, right? The left, what are the left? The left are progressives. They're liberal. They're diverse. But all of that really isn't true in the image of what you want to think. You know, the Nazis were progressives. You know, one of their slogans was forward. You know, in the Nazi propaganda. It was the National Socialist Workers, the National Socialist German Workers Party. That was Hitler's party, the National Socialist German Workers Party. Just like the socialist groups you see now, just like Antifa. They say, oh, well, we're not socialists, we're communists. Yeah, well, Hitler was a Marxist. He quoted Marx all the time. So here we are. Here we are right now. The progressives, liberal, we know what liberal is, tax and spend liberals. Liberal, we're going to help you. You know, vote for me and I'll set you free. And they don't do it. They've never lived up to that. They've only hurt the workers. They've only hurt citizens. They've only hurt minority communities over and over and over again. And people keep lining up and walking there. I mean, Jews piss me off. My fellow Jews really piss me off. First president in history recognizes Jerusalem, is a huge friend of Israel. Nikki Haley, his UN ambassador, and I wish he still was, the best UN ambassador in regards to Israel in the history of the United Nations. She fought for America, fought for Israel on that floor, great. But, yeah, the UN, UN's got to go. I always say the UN should be put right next to The Hague. You know, the International Criminal Court. They can all go sit over there together and Obama can run it. Over there, you know, in Europe. That's where they need to be. But, you know, these liberal, diverse progressives, you know, their National Socialist has been showing. It's been way too much. It's been way too much, and we have to think about it. You know, give me liberty or give me death. We have to think about it. We've been locked down. Shut down, controlled by city, county, state governments that don't have the right to stop our religious practices, do not have the right to stop our free speech, do not have the right to stop our free thought, do not have the right to stop our free association. I mean, are all Americans willing to take risks? We've never been the you always see the socialists standing in the bread lines, right? That's not us all being mellow, standing there for 6 hours to get a couple loaves of bread to go back home with. No. We're industrious. Some people say we're crazy. We're Americans. We're going to fight. It's not like we want to die on our shield. It's not like we want to just go out here and just take every risk in the world, risk our families, risk our own health, and die on our shield. But give me liberty or give me death. Lockdown. You know, the Jews were put in a lockdown a number of times. But one thing that came to mind during some of these inner city lockdowns, whether it was Chicago or it was somewhere in Michigan or it was somewhere, reminded me of the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising against the Nazis. The Nazis had taken over Poland. And they locked down, they not only locked down the Warsaw Ghetto of Jews, but they built a wall around it to keep them locked down. Most of the Jews at that time had just given up. They were just let out. But the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising was a group of Jews that stayed there. There was gun control and there was national health care. You know, T4, you guys should look up T4, Hitler's T4. And, you know, they took all their guns away. And a couple of these people kept, they had a couple of pistols, a rifle or two, tried to steal some other ones, and they tried to go on and fight. They tried to fight for their liberty. That's more of an American virtue, isn't it? To sit here on our hands and do nothing. And I'm not saying run out into the street and start firing, you know, shooting. We don't want to be violent. We don't want war. We don't want violence. We want to just live our lives. We like a nice, boring life. We go to work, we come home, spend time with our family, right? Raise our kids, do what we need to do, pay our taxes, be part of the society, be a good citizen. Now we're on lockdown. You know, as a Jew, I'm very sensitive to the lockdown. And you look what Bill de Blasio, the crummiest mayor of New York in the history of New York. I mean, I thought there were some bad ones. A. Beam. There's a number of other ones that just fortunately don't come to mind. Absolutely the worst. He's out there attacking the Jewish community in New York. Now, some of the Jews were trying to do social distancing, and some were wearing masks, and some weren't. And just like the rest of America, I go out to the gas station here, and I got to go in. They pump your gas in Jersey, where I come from. They don't pump it here, so I have to go in, put the money in, go back out, pump the gas. I'm standing there. There's a guy standing right up behind me. Nobody's doing no 6 feet. He's got no mask on. He looks drunk. He's standing right behind me. You know, people kind of screw this stuff up as well. But this, you know, this lockdown, this is a joke already. You know, they talk about your immunity. They talk about all these things. It's COVID-19. It's ridiculous what it has exposed. So we need to stand up to tyranny. This is America. This is the land, the country that fought against to end colonialist rule. You know, they try to say that Israel and the United States, the only two real democracies with diverse cultures where it's legal to be everything, you know, they're considered what? The lockdown has to come to an end. We need to get back to work. The economy needs to get going. And we've seen what they're doing all over the place. And this whole coronavirus, this COVID-19, see what this is, coronavirus was the virus of the cold. And then there was SARS coronavirus 1, which was the SARS epidemic. And this is SARS coronavirus 2. One of the reasons why I think this had to be at least messed with or modified in some way, it wasn't created. You know, Tony Fauci's out there going, the coronavirus wasn't created in a lab. No, it wasn't created in a lab. No, of course not. But it was probably modified. But some information we're going to never find out. And I'll tell you why. There was a number of really disturbing stories. There's always disturbing stories. But ABC News, of all places, reported that this researcher that was on the verge of making a significant coronavirus findings was found shot to death. You know, of course, I had to look twice. You know, I mean, look at all the things that are going on right now. You got to look twice at this. So this Pennsylvania researcher was on the verge of this significant finding. And Tony Stella wrote that with NBC, he wrote, a medical researcher said to be on the verge of making a very significant coronavirus finding, was found shot to death over the weekend in Pennsylvania, officials said. Bing Liu, 37, a researcher at the University of Pittsburgh School of Medicine, was found dead Saturday inside a home. In Ross Township, north of Pittsburgh, an Allegheny County medical examiner said. He was shot in the head, the neck, the agency said. Now, an hour after Liu's body was discovered, a second person, Hao Gu, 46, was found dead inside a car less than a mile away, the agency said. It sounds like an NCI episode or something. Now, Ross Township Police Detective Sergeant Brian Kohlhepp told NBC News that the men knew each other. Investigators believe Gu killed Liu before returning to the car where he died of a self-inflicted gunshot wound. Kind of like Seth Rich, right? Now, police believe the deaths occurred on Saturday after a lengthy dispute regarding an intimate partner, according to the Ross Police. Always a woman. Anyway, we have found zero evidence that this tragic event had anything to do with employment at the University of Pittsburgh, any work being conducted by the university. And we've been told so many stories, but this is just too coincidental. It's just too coincidental, and especially when you with the background of what they've done to this woman, Dr. Mikovits. Now, have you heard about her? Okay, now, she was a researcher that was, a preeminent researcher with HIV and Ebola and a whole bunch of stuff. And she was accusing Dr. Fauci of corruption and suppression. And it was reported in the Gateway Pundit by Mr. Hoft, says, in late April, we reported the little-known story of Dr. Fauci ruined the career of a brilliant young doctor who blew the whistle on the harmful consequences attributed to vaccines. She's not, and I watched the video, she's not anti-vaccine, but she said these are the wrong vaccines that they're coming up with, and that they're going to kill people with them. Dr. Judy Mikovits was a brilliant young doctor with a promising career until she discovered what she considered to be a harmful consequences with vaccines. After she came out with her warning, she was jailed for identifying the link between vaccines and chronic disease. In the first part of the video, you can't see the video yet. I'll be on TV one of these days. But Dr. Mikovits explains how she was jailed for speaking out about her concerns. So, now this YouTube video that was very informative was taken down. It was taken down. So we already know that doctors disappeared in China. In fact, I made a lot of friends from Hong Kong. When all this stuff started, when they were protesting, and we were talking about the protests, and we were talking about, they wanted liberty. They were out in the streets carrying the American flag, singing "America the Beautiful" and the Star Spangled Banner, and they were asking for Trump to come and help them. And every week they were protesting until the coronavirus came. And then all of a sudden these people were being dragged into vans. People would say, oh, conspiracy theory? No, there were videos. There were tons of different videos out there. So they're those two doctors from California, they were talking about the social distancing, that you should be out in the sun and you should be having herd immunity and you should be doing this, that, and the other thing. Their video gets taken down. So we got censorship going on. So we've got these Democrat governors and all these people, they're out there practicing their national socialism. And we've got the media, just echoing the same Chinese propaganda, except for a few exceptions. Love Tucker Carlson, Laura Ingraham. But, for the most part, it's this echoing, this unending echoing of Chinese propaganda. And now there's censorship. They're taking all this information down because that's the way the National Socialists like it, the Communists like it, the Fascists, and the way tyranny can exist. There's no debate. There's one truth. The earth is flat, and that's it. And if you say the earth isn't flat, they burn you at the stake. It's been going on a long time. See, the Constitution was the remedy for all this crap. That's why the Founding Fathers took so long and really worked at it. They had to keep it simple, but they had to cover everything. So the censorship is getting, pretty bad out there. And this Mikovits, if you should go out and try to read this. There was a video out there called Pandemic. Just Google her name. There's some really good information. A lot of people call her crazy. But I'll tell you, I watched the video, one of the videos twice, and extremely believable, and a lot of it makes sense. And I always had, when this whole coronavirus thing started, I always was waiting, somehow. I was wondering, if you remember in the very beginning, Iran had this big spike of coronavirus infection. First China, then Iran had this big number going on. And then, of course, they locked down the information, because the new axis, Russia, China, and Iran, they're communicating together. They're working together. They're psyops and all the rest of the crap they pull, besides just the straight up theft. It's been going on, but the Algeminer, which is a great website, Algeminer, Algeminer. There was a staff article here about about this, and I thought this was interesting too with regard to the, I'm sorry, one day I won't be talking about coronavirus anymore, but Iranian airline designated for terror links spread coronavirus throughout the Middle East, a new report says. Now, an Iranian airline closely tied to the Tehran regime, feared Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, the IRGC, played a major role in the spread of the COVID-19 across the Middle East, a special investigation by BBC revealed on Tuesday. Mahan Air, M-A-H-A-N Air, continued to fly from its hubs in Iran to destinations across the region and further afield even after flight bans were imposed in February when the pandemic started to spread dramatically, according to an exclusive report by the British Broadcasting Arabic Service. And I don't really trust BBC, but the report disclosed that Mahan Air had flown to China on numerous occasions between December and its official last flight of February 5th. Our investigation can reveal that 157 flights were made after February 5th, and Iran must give Mahan Air permission to breach its own air ban with China, the report stated. As well as flying to China during the peak of risk, Mahan airplanes also were arriving in Syria, Iraq, and Lebanon, all of whose regimes were supported by Tehran. One Lebanese woman featured in the report admonished her own country's leaders for their supine attitude to Iran, pointedly asking them, when will the Lebanese people be your priority? Does that sound familiar? I mean, here it's they love illegal aliens, they love the criminals, they're all getting out. But Americans, religious Americans, Americans that want to work, business people, are getting put in jail. So it's pretty fun. But anyway, the report also revealed a campaign of intimidation against Mahan Air staff to prevent them from disclosing the airline's dangerous activities. On April 18th, 1,300 Mahan Air staff risked prosecution by signing a letter that slammed the airline's handling of the crisis, including refusal to provide them with personal protective equipment. Now, in October 2011, the U.S. Treasury Department designated Mahan Air over its operational support of the IRGC's external unit, the Quds Force. Mahan Air has transported IGRC QF operatives, weapons, equipment, and funds abroad in support of the IRGC's OF's regional operations, and has also moved weapons and personnel for Hezbollah, the department said at the time. Now, since the onset of the Syrian civil war, Mahan Air has routinely flown fighters and material to Syria to prop up the Assad regime, which has contributed to mass atrocities and displaced civilians. And that's because the Iranians are Shia, and Assad and his father were Shia. His father was a Ba'ath socialist, wore it, looked like a Nazi uniform. You know, so this whole corona thing is just absolutely it's just unbelievable what's happening. You know, now you guys are familiar with Project Veritas, I'm pretty sure. They do a lot of investigative reporting. They've gotten people to say things that they didn't want to say. So, well, reported on their website today, it says here, CBS News this morning aired fake COVID-19 drive-through testing site line of cars. What? So I had to read it again, right? So CBS News this morning aired fake COVID-19 drive-through testing site line of cars. Now, a CBS News crew pulled medical professionals off the floor at the Cherry Medical Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to line up in their vehicles so a CBS film crew would have a long line for the COVID-19 coverage. We could have done other stuff, registered nurse complains. Apparently, the news crew wanted more people in the line, said a Cherry health supervisor. And we pretended there were a lot of real patients, which made it worse, said another registered nurse. What? Anyway, Mamaroneck, New York, today. A CBS news crew pulled medical professionals off the floor at the Cherry Medical Center in Grand Rapids, Michigan, to line up their vehicles so a CBS film crew would have a long line. Quote, our insider witnessed the whole thing and came to Project Veritas because he knew we would protect him, said James O'Keefe, the founder and CEO of Project Veritas. Quote, the insider told us the medical personnel were taken away from treating patients and making the line longer for actual patients wait for the COVID-19 test, he said. In an interview with the Insider, O'Keefe asked the Insider, "You're telling me 100% certain that CBS News, CBS News Corporation National, staged a fake event? They faked the news, they faked the reality, and broadcasted that to all their audience last Friday on CBS This Morning?" The Insider said to him, 100% absolutely. Now, Nick Ross, a corporate cleaning site supervisor at the Cherry Hill facility, said he was there when the CBS crew arrived and set up the video shoot at the COVID-19 testing site in the parking lot. Apparently, the news crew wanted more people in the line because they knew it was scheduled. Now, Marie Hernandez-Vasquez, a professional registration specialist, told the Insider that Cherry Health Director of Quality and Informatics, Glenda Walker, helped to organize the facility's workers into the COVID-19 testing line. Quote, "It's just annoying because we could have done other stuff," said one registered nurse. "They're recorded with a hidden camera by Project Veritas." The nurse said personnel at the medical center were given the heads up to expect CBS News crew. Quote, We knew they were coming. We had no clue that they were going to have to, like, do fake patients." Now, another registered nurse, Allison Morrow, recorded on hidden camera, said she and other medical professionals working the drive-through testing site did not administer the actual swab swipe as CBS News was filming, but the actual patients were made to wait longer because of the manufactured line. "We pretended there were a couple of real patients, which made it worse." Now, the footage was used to accompany CBS News reporter Adriana Diaz's narration and interview with Tasha Blackman, the president and CEO of Cherry Health. In CBS News report, Blackman told her facility needed gowns and N95 masks, which filter incoming breath to protect the medical professional. Cherry Hill president and CEO Tasha Blackman told Project Veritas in a phone conversation, "We and CBS News had nothing to do with that line." Now, Blackman said she was not viewed in the preview. Now, the CBS News statement says, "CBS News did not stage anything at the Cherry Hill facility. Any suggestion is the contrary," and so on and so forth. But, you know, Project Veritas has gotten so many things. You know, they were the ones that got all the video on the Planned Parenthood selling baby parts and so forth. You know, so they're right into it. And then we have the big story. One of the big stories of today, anyway. Shelley Luther. Shelley Luther is the woman that owns a Texas salon there in the Dallas area. And they gave her a cease and desist order. She was giving a speech at a rally because Americans have had it with this lockdown, with this draconian crap. I mean, the punishment does not fit the crimes. The punishment is not fitting the crimes. She was served a citation from the city of Dallas to close down because she had opened up her business because she needed to feed her kids, she said. And while she was at the rally, she ripped up the citation. Shelley Luther wants to save her business in the Texas economy. She told the crowd at the rally, "We have a right to run a business and feed our children." The crowd gathered to support her, you know, and they were calling her their Rosa Parks. And on Tuesday, Shelley Luther was sentenced to 7 days in jail and a $7,000 fine. I guess she's going to pull that out of her, you know, she's one of those rich people, right? Like Bloomberg. But anyway, Shelley refused to apologize to the judge for opening her business. And they put her away. Now, I just heard that the vice governor there in Texas, Patrick, you know, he said he's going to pay the fine and he'd offer to switch places with her. But how could they do this? Somebody wants to go to work. It's their own business. It's their own property. It's their family. It's their livelihood. And her and she had said that her and a lot of the women that worked in the salon were having to choose. Do they eat? Do their kids eat? Do they have anything? Do they have anything? You know, she didn't ask for money from the government. She didn't ask for anything that would have to be funded by tax money by us. All she wanted to be able to do was earn that money, cutting hair, doing perms, you know, this kind of stuff. I mean, you've got to be kidding me. And especially there are so many areas and so many ways to avoid the problem. They could take temperatures at the door. You wear a mask. You wear gloves. you know, when you get out of the salon, you slosh yourself down with, if you can find it, hand sanitizer. And I mean, there's so many things to do, but we're Americans. Are you kidding? We're going to hide. We're going to hide behind while everything goes to pot. I mean, you know, it's absolutely hard that 70,000 Americans have died. I think the majority of them will turn out to be the elderly. You know, I'm in my mid-60s, so I, you know. But, you know, what's gonna happen here with our economy, with these people's lives? It's insane. And a lawsuit has been filed now. The Washington Free Beacon reported, Graham Pierre, that a lawsuit challenging the constitutionality of Wisconsin's stay-at-home order. And the suit accuses the Democrat governor. Oh, a Democrat governor? You mean a progressive national socialist Democrat? You know, that he was stepping over religious liberty. And Pirro wrote that two Wisconsin citizens are challenging the state's stay-at-home order in court, arguing the executive order is unconstitutional because it singles out religious and political expression. And who would love that more? Would be to shut us down, to shut us all down, how we think, what we want to say, which they're doing. They're doing all over the place. Candace Owens, just taken right off Twitter. Just her voice is just shut down, the way they did to Laura Loomer, who, by the way, is running for House of Representatives here in Florida. I hope you guys get behind her, help support her. You know, she'll be a good antidote. You know, to the AOC and to the Tlaib and to the Omar that are really threats. Now, Democrat Governor Tony Evers here in Wisconsin, safer at home order prohibits public or private gatherings of more than 10 people except under specific circumstances, such as shopping. It also restricts religious gatherings to fewer than 10 individuals. The law argues that Evers' policy limits the constitutionality protected religious and political expression of Wisconsin citizens, according to Charles Cooper, the lead attorney for the plaintiffs. Quote, the point isn't that the state doesn't have a compelling interest in addressing this health care crisis. We concede and recognize that, Cooper told the Washington Free Beacon. The point is that the state can't single out to discriminate against a disadvantaged individuals who seek to leave their homes for the constitutionally protected purposes. Now, the lawsuit comes in the midst that pesky Constitution, right? The lawsuit comes in the midst of uncertainty over the future of statewide lockdown orders. Legal challenges have been filed against the policies in a number of states from groups, activists, abortionists, and churches. Cooper filed with the lawsuit on behalf of two Wisconsin citizens who see the order as overreaching and unjust in its treatment of religious gatherings. Quote, the state has clearly gone too far, needlessly infringing on our most basic constitutional liberties in an extent that is without precedent. And all I got to say, I got to quote an old man. You know, give me liberty or give me death. That's the American way. And Terrence Jeffrey at CNS News, you know, he put it this way. He goes, what has more rights, a church or a liquor store? And when he was talking about, you know, Governor Ralph Northam of Virginia, you know, he was issuing an order to the Virginia Alcoholic Beverage Control Authority. As part of his strategy to deal with the COVID-19, Virginia restaurants and bars would now be able, you ready, to sell mixed drinks for takeout and delivery. Quote, all Virginia restaurants that remain open are now takeout or delivery only, Northam said. Allowing them to sell mixed beverages or with takeout or delivery orders will help them augment their revenue streams so they can continue to operate and employ Virginians. While Northern was making this and other announcements, a photographer from the Associated Press was taking pictures. One showed there was at least 21 people in the room in addition to Northern. The date was April 8, 2020. That gathering of more than 20 people around Northam occurred more than 2 weeks after he had issued an executive order making all public and private in-person gatherings of more than 10 individuals a crime. The First Amendment guarantees freedom of press. I mean, you know, this is insane. This is absolutely, absolutely insane what's going on. So hopefully it ends soon. I know we're going crazy. But while all this is going on, these Democrat states are playing hardball. You know, they're not agreeing to social distance, and they're not agreeing to They're not agreeing to release people back into their lives. And quite frankly, they don't have the right to do it. But the game is being played because so many of these states, New York in particular, California in particular, have mismanaged their money, mismanaged their budgets, mismanaged their pensions, mismanaged it. And they're trying to use this as a leverage. They're going to hold out, thinking that McConnell and possibly Trump are going to fold, and they're going to get all these crazy left-wing ideas in there, and they're going to get money to bail out mismanaged funds. And fortunately, Ted Cruz spoke out about this at Breitbart, and he said, we shouldn't bail out states for irresponsible and fiscally reckless policies from before the pandemic. Because they're playing this game. This is all about their, you know, reforming America, like they claim they're trying to come in and fix it. But you know, that's, you know, we know when they come to fix something, man, they fix it all right. They destroy it, that's for sure. Well, a New York judge said that the New York primary is back on, ladies and gentlemen. It's back on. You know, they just want to, you know, these guys think they can just decide, well, we're going to stop the primary. No. No. It is reported in Breitbart that the New York Democrat presidential primary must take place on June 23rd because canceling it would be unconstitutional. Doesn't that sound good? A judge ruled. But they got to do more than this. U.S. District Judge Annalisa Torres in Manhattan ruled after hearing arguments a day earlier as lawyers for the withdrawn presidential candidates Bernie Sanders and Andrew Yang argued that it was wrong to cancel the primary. The judge said there'd be enough time before the primary occurs to figure out how to carry it out safely. I mean, that's just a common sense judge. It's unbelievable. You know, they want to play politics. You know, they're all saying Trump's going to want us. He's going to want to delay the election because he's Adolf Hitler and Stalin rolled into one. But he never said that he wanted to stop the election. We want it. We want it bad. We can't get to November 3rd fast enough, right? And when we get there, we're going to vote as a huge freaking block, and we're going to get these progressives out. We're not going to make the mistake, right, that we did in the 2018 election where we gave Pelosi back the gavel. That's our fault. That can't happen again, ever. And we could say they cheated and they stole the vote, so we got to worry about that too. And we have to be dogging them about it, you know? Now, de Blasio, you know, all the dictatorial crap he was trying to throw down on my Jewish brethren there in Brooklyn. Well, he's been accused of having it all wrong. It was reported in the New York Post that Mayor Bill de Blasio had it all wrong in charging the NYPD with policing social distancing. Brooklyn Borough President Eric Adams said Wednesday, arguing that the plan will set back all gains made in cop and community relations. Quote, I told the mayor we had this all wrong. You shouldn't have the police interacting with the community on this issue, especially in neighborhoods where there was a history of tension between them, Adams said Wednesday in an interview with the Post. Instead, the former NYPD cop and 2021 mayoral hopeful, it would be great getting rid of that de Blasio, called on community leaders to help educate the public on the guidelines and respond to the calls. Quote, this is an issue of reculturing the public, so we should use people who are known in the neighborhood, like clergy, civic groups, block associations, food pantry personnel, to deal with these. Oh, no, we have to use the Gestapo. See, that de Blasio's theory is you have to just say, I just like that Lori Lightfoot in Chicago. You're out, we're coming to arrest you. If you have a party, we're coming to, if you go to your neighbor's house, we're going to arrest you. We should be sensitive to this thinking. We should be sensitive to how easy it came to them. Because, you know, the deep state has been a bigger threat. It's been a threat to Trump. It's been a threat to Americans. And there's been a lot of players in this whole thing. You know, whether it was Obama and Holder and Lynch and Clinton and Kerry and, you know, all these progressive stooges that are out there, and they got evil intent. These people are not, these are not good people. They've got evil intent, you know, way past just their own financial gain, although that's a big part of it. I mean, just look, follow the money into the Clinton Foundation, you can see what they're all about. But today, it was reported in the Federalist of Sean Davis that Rosenstein's scope memo, remember Rod Rosenstein? Yeah, Rod Rosenstein. I wish Trump had just walked in and just cleaned house the way Obama did. I really do. Anyway, Rosenstein's scope memo for Mueller peddled the Steele dossier Logan Act conspiracy theories. A newly declassified memorandum from Rod Rosenstein shows that the former deputy attorney general used bogus claims from discredited Clinton campaign operative Christopher Steele to justify Robert Mueller's investigation of the Trump campaign. Now, former deputy general's memo authorizing Robert Mueller's anti-Trump investigation was riddled with conspiracy theories lifted straight from the bogus dossier of Christopher Steele. A newly released, less redacted version of the memo shows. The memo portions of which were declassified on April 30th, 2020, specifically targeted former campaign affiliates Carter Page, Paul Manafort, Mike Flynn, George Papadopoulos, and one individual whose identity was redacted. Now, the August 2nd, 2017 scope memo, which was provided by the Department of Justice to the Senate Judiciary Committee following a request from Senator Lindsey Graham, he actually did something at least finally, and he cited the Steele dossier collusion conspiracy theories about the Manafort page. Rosenstein ordered Mueller to investigate allegations that Page committed a crime or crimes colluding with Russian government officials with respect to the Russian government's efforts to interfere with the 2016 election and probably climate change. Now, the same language was used to justify the targeting of Manafort. Rosenstein's memo also peddled discredited legal theories about the Logan Act, a 1799 law criminalizing political speech by American citizens that has never been successfully prosecuted, to justify investigations of the White House National Security Advisor, Mike Flynn. The scope memo directed Mueller to investigate allegations that Flynn, quote, committed a crime or crimes by engaging in conversations with Russian officials during the period. That means Hillary, the entire Democratic Party should have been arrested. You know, they were like the Russians' best friends for a long time. Obama's making them promises. Hillary's giving them all kinds of deals. At the same time, she's selling them uranium. She sold 20% of our uranium stockpile to the Russians. But, you know, that was okay. But Rod Rosenstein, you know, not a good player. You know, these guys should have resigned. You know, Ray should resign. Chris Ray. My feeling is this. He's so tied up. He was so far up Comey's butt, just like Strzok and Page and McCabe and the whole rest of the comedy team, okay, that he should just walk away now. Just walk away himself. Let Trump come up with another person to take over the FBI, you know, like Mike Flynn or somebody. Because these guys have to go. This can't continue. This deep state has been an egregious mistake, just like the Russian investigation, just like the fake impeachment. But one article that made me smile, the Daily Caller reported that Grinnell says he's going to release those House Intel Russian probe transcripts even if Schiff refuses, I thought it was great. Somebody was going to step up. Now, Rich Grinnell, he's the acting director of National Intelligence. He told Adam Schiff on Monday that 53 transcripts from the House Intelligence Committee's investigation into possible Trump-Russia collusion are ready to be released to the public. In a letter, Grinnell urged Schiff to publish the documents, but said that the Office of the Director of National Intelligence, the ODNI, is prepared to release them if the California Democrat refuses to do so. Quote, this is what he said, I urge you to honor your previous public statements and your committee's unanimous vote on this matter to release all 53 clear transcripts to the members of Congress and the American public as soon as possible, Grinnell said in the letter, first reported by the Washington Examiner. Now, I am also willing to release the transcripts directly from the Office of the Director of National Intelligence to ensure we comply with the unanimous and bipartisan vote, I hate that word, vote to release the transcripts. Republicans have in recent weeks upped the pressure on Schiff to release the transcripts. Devin Nunes has been doing a great job pushing for these things. Now, the House Intelligence Committee voted in September 2018 to release the documents. The panel sent, and the guests who took over the House, the panel sent 53 transcripts, which that's why we got a vote, which totaled more than 6,000 pages to the ODNI in a review of classified material. ODNI completed a review of 43 of the transcripts in June 2019. Grinnell told Schiff, the chairman of the House Intelligence Committee, the other 10 were really completed, the letter stated. So that's good, because Schiff needs to go. Schiff's part of this problem. He really is. But, you know, Sleepy Joe Biden, I feel bad for him, the way they're pushing him through this, but it's got to be, someone's going to swoop in. Don't you get that feeling? Someone's going to swoop in. Suddenly he's going to get, he's going to be diagnosed with Alzheimer's or some kind of capacity issue. And somebody's going to come in, you know, somebody, a Hillary or somebody, is going to come swiling in. But, you know, Biden's got this problem now with this woman. Do any of us believe that he acted like Ted Kennedy? Of course we do. You know, Ted Kennedy was his mentor. You know, Ted, the Lion of the Senate, with all due respect, Ted Kennedy, Mary Jo Kopechne, Kennedy. Anyway, Biden learned from him. So do I believe Biden did what Ted Kennedy would have done? Yeah, I do. But Biden voted to block the creation of a Senate office that handles sexual harassment complaints. And this is going back some years. And was he being manipulated by Ted Kennedy to protect Ted Kennedy? But Colin Anderson put this together from the Free Beacon. Says that presumptive Democrat nominee Joe Biden voted in favor of a motion that would have blocked the creation of a Senate office that received sexual harassment complaints. Biden was one of six Democrats who joined in an effort to block the Office of Senate Fair Employment Practices in 1991 on the grounds that it was unconstitutional. The vote came less than 2 years before Tara Reid allegedly filed a complaint about her treatment as an employee in Biden's Senate office. Now, created as part of the Civil Rights Act of 1991 and in the shadow of Anita Hill's testimony on Capitol Hill, it's amazing, you know, when these things are going on, they're always attacking some Republican, like, you know, just to cover things. Anyway, the Office of Senate Fair Employment Practices was an attempt to remedy the fact that Congress was, at the time, exempt from workplace discrimination laws. An amendment to the civil rights law introduced by Senator Chuck Grassley, Republican from Iowa, chartered the office and provided procedures to protect the right of Senate and other government employees to be free from discrimination on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, national origin, age, or disability. Now, Grassley's amendment sparked a fierce opposition from some of his colleagues, led by then-Republican Senator Warren Redmond of New Hampshire, who argued that the office would become a son of Frankenstein and warned that everyone here will be in jeopardy and we will have done much violence to this body and the Constitution. So, you know, this stuff goes way back. You know, did Joe do it? Of course he did it. Of course he did it. So I got, you know, and this is an interesting story reported in CNS. Hungary, I mean, you're not going to believe this, but you know, sometimes common sense can win. Sometimes people do believe in science, and they do follow the science. Well, Hungary's preparing to legally define gender as sex at birth. Now, of course, the LGBTQ community in the EU were up in arms, but legislation making its way through the Hungarian parliament and expected to become law would legally define a person's sex or gender as sex at birth, meaning later in life a person could not legally change their gender. The proposal has angered many European Union leaders and the LGBTQ activists. As explained by Human Rights Watch, the bill would amend the Registry Act to include a clarification regarding the word nem, which in Hungarian can mean both sex and gender. So, you know, it's just absolutely insane. Just want to do a shout out. Willie Mays, great San Francisco Giant, birthday today. George Clooney's birthday, I hate that guy, I'm glad he's not running for office. Sigmund Freud, Tony Blair, Orson Welles all had birthdays today. Today, the day of the New Deal. It's a real great one. And right before I go, I want you to look up Pim Fortuyn, P-I-M-F-O-R-T-U-Y-N. He was assassinated today in 2002. He started controversy in the Netherlands over multiculturalism, immigration, and Islam in the Netherlands. And you should check him out. Hey, listen, you've been listening to Feldman World Review. I'm the Jew Boy. Thank you for tuning in. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.
Your world, I just live in it.
The number you have reached, 911, has been changed to a non-published number.
Go ahead. Make my day.
Hey, I want to thank you for listening to the what is this? I want to thank you for listening to the May 6, 2020 podcast of Feldman World Review. I'm the Jew Boy. Thank you for tuning in. This is the free speech zone, and we try to make it as uncomfortable a space as possible for progressives. Sundays, 10 p.m. Wednesdays, 10 p.m. Might add another day at some point. But please tune in every time. Bring your family. Bring your friends. Just let people know I'm here to talk. In the next couple of weeks, I'll have the chat room's working. You're welcome to come in and chat. And I'm going to have the guest call in. I've been trying to get to Blog Talk Radio. That's the platform I'm on here in the Internet, to get the call-in thing together. But I guess they're all in lockdown. Can't do their jobs. They can't sit at a computer and work on the site, I guess. But anyway, they're going to get that back and you'll be able to call in. But I really want to thank you. It's been a lot of years. Appreciate the support. And remember, when the going gets tough, the tough keep the faith.